West Tigers fans, our boys head out to Bathurst to take on the reigning premiers, the Penrith Panthers. We are long outsiders, but we have some young guns back in the squad. Do we have a chance to create another upset? Let's find out, and let's preview the game on another episode of the West Live Podcast. Welcome in to another episode of the West Live Podcast. I am your host, Josh Barnett. Please give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter at West Live Pod if you haven't done so yet. On those pages, you'll find our Linktree link, or you can find that at westtigers.com.au. That is a link to everything we do, including our YouTube channel. Shouts to all our viewers coming in, as we do twice a week. We record live, so if you're listening to this on the audio pipes, be sure to join us if you can one Monday or Wednesday evening. And we've already got a super chat from one of our super fans already coming through, so how good. Patreon.com/West Life. Also, if you'd like to support the show as well, and as always, we are sponsored and presented by Holman Barnes Group, the best place to watch the game live and loud on Saturday. If you're not making the drive out Bathurst Way, it is, of course, West Ashfield on the big screen. You can have an Italian or Chinese, succulent Chinese meal as you watch the game. Seeing as we are playing, when I say we, not us three, we're not running out on Saturday. We'll be watching it on the television, but one man who lived pretty close to Bathurst and used to make the trip from Orange into the big city almost on a weekly basis, Mr. Thompson, how are you this evening?
Yeah, g'day Josh, g'day Rob, g'day everyone who's listening in. I'm pretty good, mate. Obviously not a great performance last week, but for the team perspective, if you want a chance to test yourself and see how far you've come along, the three-time defending premiers with or without their star halfback is a pretty good yardstick to see where you're at.
Is it a little bit annoying, Az, that this would be a home game for you, but now you're living in the big smoke?
A little bit. I wanted to go to the Bathurst game last year, but wasn't able to. And had I still been living down there, I probably would have gone this year as well.
Of course.
Kind of a good thing I didn't go last year, considering the conditions, and supposed to be a bit better this time around, although I'm still planning to do a rain dance at some point pre-game and hopefully get some clouds going down there.
I'm sure all the fans that are making their way to the game will be very happy that you want the rain to pour down upon.
I'm sure they'll survive.
Coming in from the Red Room, Mr. Bashara, how are you this evening?
Good evening, boys. Good evening, everyone. I'm well. Looking forward to the big bounce back this week, hopefully.
Normally save the super chats, but Brendan W, he's dropped this literally an hour and a half before we went on to air tonight. He said, can't make tonight's potty. Use this as a token for a beer at West Ashfield. Biggest test yet for the character of this team. Play for the Jersey boys. He sent us $8 to rev up the West Tigers. Let's hope they're listening. I don't know if any... I know Shawnee Blore used to listen. Probably doesn't now. But look, if any players are listening, Brendan W's sent us $8. And if that doesn't inspire you to beat the reigning premiers, I don't know what will. So thank you very much for that, Brendan, as you listen back to this, I assume, on Thursday morning. As I mentioned, we are sponsored by Holman Barnes Group. If you are looking for a place to watch the game, the big, massive cinema-sized screen at West Ashfield, it's amazing. The whole room's packed with West Tigers fans. You can get a feed at the new Villaggio restaurant, a nice wood fire pizza, or go to the Shanghai Knights Chinese restaurant that's opened as well recently. And you can get that and watch the footy with a nice schooner of just quietly. We're not sponsored by any beer company. So I will. This is a massive free plug. When I watch the game at West Ashfield against the Dolphins, have you boys, as you don't drink, so might not be so much for you, but the Blockers beer, the Front Row Lager, is on tap at West Ashfield. I had one of those and then went back for another one while the Tigers were playing. I did need very rarely to get a second beer, but I went back for another one. It is a good beer. So shouts to Blocker. He can have some pretty annoying takes in the media, but he's brewed a pretty good beer. So free advertising for them, but they have it on tap at West Ashfield. Shouts to ChaseBet as well. If you go to the link, westtigers.com.au, the big purple button, sign up to ChaseBet via that link and then send them a little chat message saying the West Life podcast sent you. The guys, it's obviously a smaller than the big one, so it's very personal and they'll get back to you and, yeah, give you a nice little welcome. And then, yeah, we're looking at doing more things as well, West Tigers wise as well, some more fun things incoming. What are you prepared to lose today? Set a deposit limit for free and confidential support. Call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Righto, no news. I didn't put it in so much. Before we get into the team list, the only little bit of news that I saw pop up, fellas, was, I mean, playing Penrith this week, the news of James Fisher-Harris going to the Warriors. And, of course, it wouldn't be a rugby league story without the West Tigers being linked in some way or another. But Roberto Stefano Utoikamanu, we're not going to, until he plays State of Origin this year and this clause in his contract is null and void, are we just going to keep hearing that, this? Do you think there's any chance that Steph's going to leave us to go to the dwindling, fast exiting Penrith Panthers?
No, we are the West Tigers, so anything's possible. But look, I don't think anyone should be in panic mode right now. I'd just be a little bit concerned in the fact, I think obviously this James Fisher-Harris thing, I mean, contrary to what they're saying, it couldn't have all been done over 3 days. So you just think a club like Penrith would have a plan or an alternative or someone in mind to replace Fisher-Harris. So, look, just a little bit of a concern there. And obviously, you know, there's a tiny bit of concern about Richo being linked back with his former club, South Sydney. So, whenever there's a story about the Tigers, positive or negative, the media are going to jump on it because it attracts our attention. So, look, we've just got to sit tight, be patient. Look, hopefully Madge does choose Steph. I think Steph would be a perfect prop from the bench. Like, he really will create impact. But again, I mean, there are so many good props to choose from and some that have had plenty more experience than Steph's, what was it, 12 to 14 minutes thereabouts. Mm. So, yeah, we'll see how it all pans out.
As what do you think Steph's chances are of playing Origin this year?
Based on his performance this year, performances so far this year, I actually don't mind his chances. He seems to be one of the leading props in the competition, despite his young age. He's leading from the front for us and putting on a performance week in, week out, which is really good to see. Plus, he's obviously got a relationship with Madge from when Madge was the coach of the Tigers. So I think there's a decent chance that if he keeps up this good form, there is a chance that he could get a bit of a run off the bench in Origin again this year.
Yep, fingers crossed. Just a bit beyond the contract, I think he just deserved it and deserves it. And it's a little bit rare these days. I mean, we obviously have had Appy, but it'd be nice to have another Tiger to cheer for in Origin as well. So he does. I mean, we will lose them. What's the Origin situation? Who are we playing this year as during Origin week? To rack your brain.
So we have the bye in the first of the majorly affected Origin rounds where we don't have any players. I think it's the Raiders or the Sharks maybe for one of them and possibly the Roosters for the other off the top of my head. And that's in rounds 13, 16 and 19. Those are the weeks where the Origin players are in Origin camp and not playing for their clubs.
Hopefully the Roosters can try and think. What Roosters players, I guess Teddy. Yeah, I mean, probably too many. Might get a Tupou on the wing. I'm not sure. We'll see. Anyway, we'll preview that game in 17 weeks' time or whatever it is when that's happened. Let's talk about the Tigers-Panthers. As to run us through the West Tigers team list.
Too easy. So Jareem Buller at fullback with Charlie Staines and Junior Tupou on the wings. Brent Naden is in the centres for his first game of the year with Justin Ollam. The Galvanator, Lachlan Galvin, returns. Excellent to see that. Aiden Caesar is the halfback. Stefano Uto-Ikamanu and David Clemmer are the props with Appy Korosau at hooker. Isaiah Papali'i and John Bateman are in the second row. Fanua Pole at lock. Latu Fainu, Alex Twal, Alex Saifarth, and Samuela Fainu make up the bench. Justin Matamua is 18th man with Asu Kepa'oa, Solomon Alemalo, Jake Simkin, and Sione Fainu in the reserves.
We're just waiting for our Panthers guest to join us. I believe he's doing some dad duties. And speaking of special guests, our guest from last week, Jay Benz, just dropped us a fiver. Good on you, Jay Benz. He said, sorry about Sunday, boys, because he's obviously a Dragons fan. He's hoping Tigers bounce back this week. I don't know if he mentioned it on the show last week. He was actually a Balmain fan when he was a kid, Jay Benz.
Thanks, Jay Benz.
So, yeah, he's always had a soft spot for the Tigers, even though we've seen many Tigers-Dragons games together. But, yeah. But thanks for that, Jay Benz. That's a Schooner Adapter Bowling Club, roughly there, that he's shouted us. So thanks for that. Rob, this team list, you said it in the Discord or on Twitter or in a group chat or somewhere. I can't remember where you actually said it. We interact so much, but you said it. You reckon it's the best list we've had in a long, long time, this one.
Look, it's very rare that we get the coaches and the fans being unified, which might be a scary thing actually. But yeah, like basically most of the changes we called for happened. Look, on Monday night show, when we were reviewing the St. George game, I actually didn't consider Latu Fainu at all for the utility spot, just simply because he's had hamstring issues since basically late last year and that he twinged it a week and a half ago. And I just thought we might hold off on him, but obviously it's really minor. You know, I trust, you know, the medical staff and high performance team at the West Tigers. So that was the only surprise for me. And obviously there would be some people that would say, and I'm certainly one of them, that Kapoa had his best game for the club ever on Sunday. But again, Kapoa's an edge player. Saifarth going back to the bench just is an extra middle. So in all honesty, guys, if that's the 17 that runs out, that's as good a 17 as I think we're likely to see, especially, you know, I think Fata Ape needed a breather and just to reassess his game and redevelop. And so does Sullivan. I didn't want to see Sullivan on the bench. Obviously, he was always going to make room for the Galvanator. So, look, really happy with the team. I dare say I don't think there's anyone, unless they're related to the players that got dropped, that wouldn't be happy with this lineup this week.
Just got a comment. Josh McRackbag said, how much longer does Staines get to show some form of life? I mean, when we ran through the stats on Monday's show, Stainesy was up there, I think.
It was like 50 or 60 post-contact meters or something.
I think people have been a bit harsh on Staines.
Not to mention as well, he was also in the top three. He was in 3-2-1s for the fans from the survey. Mm. I think he got the two or the one, one or the other.
So some people have been harsh on him, some aren't. Look, we at the start of the year, we were concerned about under the high ball and that sort of thing. It hasn't seemed to be a problem this year. And who will be opposing?
It'll be Brian Toto. Brian Toto will be on the left wing.
Yeah,
he's had some pretty tough defensive assignments so far. And obviously, Toto is a pretty tough one as well. But for the most part, he's handled his defensive assignments quite well this season.
And obviously his centre partnership will be with
you there, Josh?
Brent Naden, I think we've lost
correct?
Him.
We're losing your audio a bit, Josh.
Brent Naden, sorry, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, but it was quite intermittent there, Josh. We missed a bunch of sentences there. Yeah, but his partner will be Brent Naden, who obviously I'm pretty sure they would have had at least a couple of games together back in the Penrith days, wouldn't they? On the same side there. So they're certainly familiar with each other.
They both played in the 20 grand finals, 2019 and 2020. Well, Staines was when Naden came to us 2 years ago. Yeah, so they would have at least had one grand final together. as well. So, yeah, quite funny that they're playing, I assume it's their first time together for us, is it? Possibly? I should have looked that up, but it's quite funny that they're playing against their former club.
Because, actually, Naden was playing early last season. He might have been playing for one or two of Charlie's games, but then obviously Charlie went down
before he went down
injury in the in the Manly game.
Anyway, on Naden, the point I was trying to make, as Naden, we've been hoping he'd come back for a while. We're big fans of him on the show in the centers. We obviously last year were a bit iffy of him playing on the wing, but I think the three of us are in agreement that Naden in the centres, with all respect to Fatape, is a big plus.
Yeah, for sure. I think the thing with Naden is we were all a little bit concerned about his defensive defense and his mental slip-ups, which he had a few of last year. But I think overall he is probably a really solid option there. Obviously, the connection with Charlie is something that can contribute on the weekend, but he's got an opportunity now and it's up to him to show it. I do think he is an upgrade on Fatape, not to say that Fatape hasn't done well so far this season, but I think he's a little out of his depth in first grade at the moment, so it's good to give him a little bit of time in reserve grade, help him find his feet, and potentially come back up later on.
Well, wasn't this the game last year where he had a bit of a brain snap when we played Penrith, even though we won? I actually thought it was one of the four games.
He went to the sin bin in this game, and I think he copped a suspension for about 3 or 4 weeks out of it, and I don't think he played first grade again for the year, or much first grade for the year after his suspension ended.
Salty Steve in the YouTube saying they're on the same site. When Staines scored 4 tries on debut, they're on the same site. So our Panthers guest, Shunta, making his return to the show for the second time this year. We might be able to confirm that for us as well. Welcome back to the show, Shunta.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back on.
If you missed, Shunta was with us for the off-season episode when the Luai news broke, and we'll probably get him, we'll get a Luai update when we do the Panthers team list. But can you confirm for us, Shunta, your memories of Staines and Naden playing on the same side as each other?
I did not actually get to catch that four try game live. Unfortunately, I was pulled away to a shopping trip. And I just kept checking my phone because it was going off for this 4-try debut, and I did not actually get to watch it live and remember who was playing inside of Staines that day.
We believe Salty Steve. Why would he lie to us?
I think Nato. We played him. I think we played him both a bit about left and right because we, we liked to at the time shuffle around Stephen Crichton. Because he had the ability to play both, and just whatever matchup worked well that day.
Mentioning just before we brought you on, Shunta, from an outside perspective, a bit biased by us, but we think this is one of the strongest sides we've named in quite a while. Does this team, from an outsider, look pretty solid? Obviously, we're $5 outsiders, but look, for a team that struggled the last couple of years, I think we're pretty happy with the side we're putting out this week.
It's funny. It's a better side than the side that beat Penrith at Bathurst last year. Which, you know, like I don't. Oh look, I think the team's not going to take them lightly. But as a fan, I'm looking at it thinking, well, yeah, that's still on paper. It's a better team than, thank you very much, Crazy Praying Mantis. I am feeling welcome.
That's a commenter, just to put that in context for people not watching. It's a YouTube commenter. Just before anyone listening on the audio would have no idea what Crazy Praying Mantis.
Oh, yeah. No, that's all right. I apologize for bringing that up on an audio.
This show's, we're not professional. It's okay.
That's okay.
We just like winging it. It's the fun way to do it.
Yeah. But yes, look, it is a very very strong very strong team on paper, and it's, as I said, it's like stronger than the team that beat Penrith last year. So I think it's really funny. I'm sure you guys caught it. Sorry, I just got to remove my headset at the moment.
That's
better. Sorry, guys. Yes, so certainly a better team than the one that beat us last year. But I just have a feeling that because of that game at Bathurst last year, I think the team will be up for it a bit more. Because I don't know if he saw it, because there was Panthers presentation night. I think Ivan Cleary had a few under his belt at this point that he was when he got up and gave a speech. But he got up and he talked about the fans, and he thanked the fans for another season. Then he talked about even everyone who was out there at Bathurst, And then he's talking about it was really cold. It was like pissing down rain. And we lost to the effing Tigers. F me. So I think it's one of those things where I think it was a great game for the Tigers. They played well and deserved to win. But I think it's one of those things where the Panthers don't, the team as they are, like, and even though they've achieved so much, they don't require much motivation. So they'd probably be thinking they pull their pants down last year. So I think they'll be a bit more up for it this time around, just because of what happened last time.
So my brother's just messaged me, he's listening in, about the Staines-Naden side for you guys. Apparently on his debut, he was actually named in the centres and Naden on the wing. But from memory, he scored all his tries basically.
He played right wing that day.
But he definitely was on the wing.
Kane's definitely. He sent me a screenshot of the team list, and he's at 21.
I've got it open as well. I found it, and I've got it open as well. Yeah.
There you go.
Scored that day too.
Put 56 on the shark. So thanks for that. Mm. Speaking of YouTube, I've got to go to Michael's super chat. Josh J Ben sent us a schooner of beer. Michael Sloan sent us a bloody case worth. He sent us 31. How much does a case of beer cost? It's $31. Does that give you a case of VB? Not that I buy a case of VB, but from Darwin Tiger Mick, he said, agree with Red Room Rob. Best, nice alliteration there. Best, I can't believe we've never used that then. Red Room Rob, RRR.
RRR.
Best lineup we've got. Very positive with this squad. Just hope the internet changes are on point. I think he means interchange. Going to game on Friday to watch the Eels get strangled. who are the Eels playing on Friday?
Vince. The Dolphins.
Oh, yeah.
The Dolphins without the hammer.
Well, that's not too bad. I was thinking, Parramatta doing that again. Are they taking like Queensland teams to Darwin? Weird sort of thing.
It's like the fifth or sixth year in a row they've done it now, I think. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Not as bad as the Cowboys.
Righto. As run us through the Penrith Panthers team list.
No worries. Fullback is Dylan Edwards. The wingers are Sunia Taruva and Brian To'o. Isaac Tungo and Taylan May in the centres, Jerome Luai and Brad Schneider in the halves, Moses Leota and James Fisher-Harris are the props, Mitch Kenny at hooker, Scott Sorensen and Liam Martin in the second row with Isaiah Yeo at lock, Dane Laurie, Lindsay Smith, Liam Henry and Luke Garner are the bench, Jack Cole is 18th man with Maverick Geyer, Matthew Eisenhuth, Paul Alamotti and Tyrone Peachy in the reserves.
Brocker, our rockstar Patreon member, he said a case of VB is actually about $60 these days. So shows how
good old inflation.
I'm not out of touch with the common man. I just don't I don't drink much. There you go, $60. Jesus, thanks a lot. Whatever Prime Minister brought in what Prime Minister was it, Rob, that brought in the alcopop tax? It was K Rudd, wasn't it?
No idea.
It just keeps going up anyway. I think, yeah, the alcohol tax, the price just keeps going up. So, yeah, God, I'll be very sad the day that, you know, a case of, like, you know, average working man beer is $100.
Righto. Rob, I'll start with you. Which of these players, obviously no Cleary, what are your thoughts on Brad Schneider slotting in for halfback for them?
In terms of Schneider, guys, I think he'll pretty much try and play exactly how Nathan Cleary plays without sort of backing himself too much individually. He really fits into their system well. I've watched him play a few games, even in their loss against Manly. He went about his job. You'd think it was Nathan Cleary, basically. It's the identical plays. Whenever he gets it or Luai gets it, they keep turning the ball back inside to their back rowers and just keep trying to, you know, pound our outside backs or 5-8. So, look, plenty of tough matchups. Their centres are great. I mean, their fullbacks in all-time form. They've got the best prop forwards, I think, combination in the game. So we're really going to have to be on our game. And obviously, you know, an interesting matchup will be Jerome Luai, who's coming to our club next year, versus the future immortal, the Galvanator. So they're going to be past partners next year, but Mr. Luai is going to get a big shock this week.
Shunter, how has our good friend Jerome Luai been this year for you guys?
He's been solid. He's just basically been like the, I don't know, just sort of what I expected of him. You know, it's he's been doing his job. And I think one of the good things that we've done over the years is even when Cleary is out, we don't ask Jerome to do like too much more. There's always that temptation. Some clubs still do it. They but if you go, oh, okay, well, our primary playmaker is out, and so they throw way too much on the guy who is they try and change someone's job. Luai's just been doing like the same job. He might do a little bit more kicking than usual, but as Rob was saying about Schneider, he just comes in and he does like the Cleary, he does like Cleary role, but he's not Nathan Cleary, so. You know, there'll be a little bit more on Luai, but you're not asking Jerome Luai to be Nathan Cleary and do all this this other stuff that's not his natural game. So, you know, like a lot of these guys, been together for so long, been successful for so long, he's just sort of, you know, just warming into it. I think he's had his best game was probably against the Roosters. He looked really good and really lively. I think he would like to show out a little bit, considering he's going to West next year. It'd be interesting. Actually, yeah, interesting to see if he has any, you know, little words to say to Lockie Galvin as well, considering they're going to be actually. I'm interested to see how much he chirps at all, considering he's going there next year. He might want to, you know, dial
back
a little bit.
They'll be on opposite sides of the field, though. They'll be like, they're both playing on each other's left, so they're not directly opposing each other.
No, that's it. If anything, you might. He'll be matching up on season then. But anyway, that's it. I think he might. Yeah, maybe keep a button on it this time around.
The fans are very generous, and another $3 from Deadpool on YouTube. I'll let you as answer his question he's got for us. So, what are your thoughts? We sign Sunia Taruva. Did I say that correctly? Am I close there, Az?
I'd like it if we signed Sunia, but I don't think we will. I think Penrith are going to be able to lock him up, especially with Fisher Harris leaving and Luai leaving. I think that's going to open up a fair chunk of salary cap for them, and Sunia is probably one of the first ones they're going to look to sign up. But I mean, if we were to get him along with Luai, there'd be a really potent combination out there, particularly if they're on the same side of the field, which I would really like to see. Obviously, there's a couple of players in between, but definite possibilities and opportunities there.
Shunter, if we just keep buying your players and then just you keep taking ours, eventually, like, it's got to flip upside down, surely. Eventually, we'll win a premiership. on this side.
Well, that's it. You've got to sign our players at a faster clip than Gus Gould. So
yeah,
that's it. It's an arms race. But you know, getting Appy, and then getting Luai, and then if you got Taruva, that's like 3 for 3. Actually, getting like good Penrith players. Mm. You know, not like your signing Jamin Salmon because he was here, and actually cherry picking like really good ones. That's a good way to go about it. But as Aaron was saying, it's I think now, given that James Fisher-Harris is departing at the end of the year, freeing up such a huge chunk of salary cap, and there just isn't a one-for-one replacement. It's really, really difficult in terms of like intangibles and stuff to replace Fisher-Harris anyway. But in terms of like someone who's going to command the same sort of salary as a middle forward, there's no one that come close to that. So, the reported max offer from the Panthers for Sonia Taruva was around the $350,000 mark, but he could be worth $500 on the open market. Whether the Panthers would then just up their offer to him for a couple of years to keep him around, because he is still a very, very good player. It's just the fact that the rest of the back five have all they're all signed up longer term, or they take up a significant amount of the cap. They think the idea was, maybe just cheap out on that other wing spot as good as Taruva is. And then when you're losing a premium prop like Fisher-Harris and there's no one else on the market, then, why not just allocate just a little bit more money to keep someone who has been really good for us for another couple of years. So, I feel like it's less like I was basically resigned to losing him to either the Dragons or possibly the Tigers, because, the connection there with Appy. As well,
both Fijian. Is Fijian as well?
Cousins.
Are they? There you go. I didn't know that.
They're cousins. I'm not sure the exact link there, but there is a family. There's a family link there. I'm pretty sure. I've heard that they are cousins. So, So there's that as well. So you can understand like the interest, but if Penrith are able now to up their offer because they've got money and not much else to spend it on at the moment, then he might end up sticking around. Well,
maybe Appy, but if it's his cousin, maybe Appy can say, look, take 100K per year of my salary and give it. If you get Sunia, I'll shave 100K a year or something. After tax, it's not that much in the scheme of things. He's on about a mil. He's probably earned 10 mil in his career. Give your cuz a bit of a little bit of a kickback from your salary
that's probably a touch on the sketchy side.
I don't think you can, as long as Appy, I'm sure the Roosters and stuff have.
I was about to say, is that how the Roosters have been doing all these years?
I'm sure. I don't think it'd be tampering or anything for a player to just take a pay cut, because I think Robbie Farah, back in the day, Rob, didn't he take a bit of a pay cut to keep players or something? I think even it was a few of the Tigers players.
But that's just a pay cut. That's nothing to do like take my money and give it to someone else. That's just a cut off their own contract and whatever the club does from there.
That's what I'm saying.
They do from there. But there's one with Taruva, there's an interesting the talk with St. George's offer is St. George have offered him a lot more money if he cements a fullback spot. But if it turns out he ends up on the wing, then he gets less money. So that's quite an interesting way to sort of structure your contract if it comes off like that. But it seems like St. George are favourites. If I was Penrith, I wouldn't be paying him more money. Not that he's not a good player, but wingers are wingers. Like, it shouldn't be too hard for Penrith. They've probably got 8 wingers coming through the ranks that are taller and bigger and faster and could do the job.
I already know who's going to take that job if he leaves too, but Jesse McLean, who debuted last year in the when we got blown out by the Eels in the late in the regular season.
He scored a try though, didn't he, that night? Did he score a try? He did some stuff.
He had some really good touches, really good flashes, but the whole team was just like well off that night. But
he looked good.
So, it's one of those things where I'm like, I think, yeah, I think he would be the one to step up and come in. And, yeah, to your point too, I forgot that there was the lure of centre or fullback at other clubs, whereas he's definitely a winger at Penrith. So
yeah, for sure.
Yes. Although I don't know if you guys had covered this earlier in the news. Did you see all amongst the Fisher Harris news?
Talking about Steph.
About Steph. I was thinking like,
mine. We did touch on it.
We more than touched on it.
It's just crazy that sort of get out was in there. I mean, some of these get out clauses, you don't hear about them until they're sort of, you know, they're sort of relevant. In this case, it's only relevant because there's a wealthy suitor from like a strong club who may be interested. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, I think, like all things considered, like Stefano, I don't think there's any like danger of him actually wanting to get out or anything like that. And I do think that regardless of where the Tigers finish on the ladder, I think he'd still be getting picked for like two games for New South Wales, like surely.
We hope so. That's what we did touch on. That's good to get a non-biased opinion on that. So you do think that Madge will pick him?
I don't know. It's hard. Well, it's really hard to get a read on. But I feel like he should be part of the Blues' future setup anyway. So it'd be, you know, he'd have to be injured at this point injured. Like he's not having a bad year or anything. Like he'd have to be there, you know, on the bench at least. Just that's how I feel anyway. He should be part of the New South Wales setup just going forward. But so I don't think there's any danger of him even being able to activate that get out. But it's only something that's being talked about now because there's a whole lot of money and for Penrith and not really much to spend it on, which, you know, as we saw with the Warriors until this, you know, absolute freak circumstance where Fisher Harris has been granted a compassionate release. Like they had no... Well, they were releasing Adam Fanua Blake with no prospect of replacing him until this very unique circumstance came about. So, yeah, that's it. Penrith's sort of in the same boat. It'll take something really freaky or freaky to free up a talent that you would consider like, oh yeah, that's a fair replacement for Fisher Harris. Whereas now, at the moment, it's pretty much, well, you know, what Penrith's done for a few years, anyways, like next man up, and they probably will bring in someone, but I don't know that they'd necessarily bring someone else in to start in place of Fisher Harris. It might be bringing in someone to come off the bench. They might have, yeah, Lindsay Smith will probably, yeah, at this point, I'd say Lindsay Smith will be the starter next year, and they'll look at having someone on the interchange bench, maybe find an impact sort of prop that they miss now that Lenu's gone.
As Penrith Panthers, obviously, as the years go on, everyone's expecting you guys to, stop your dominance. It's been three in a row. Is it getting to the stage now? Are you guys, look, I think as long as Cleary is at the Panthers, you guys will be a top eight side no matter what. Like, he's got the Andrew Johns factor where he will lift a team, any team, to at least top eight. But is there a little bit of a, like, okay, we might as well enjoy this while we last, or do you guys have the confidence that you do have a very, very good nursery bringing players through the system that you're just going to replace them, and with the core of Edwards, Cleary, etc., you'll be fine? Or because it's obviously been, from the outside looking in, looked very easy for the Panthers. Like, you've kind of out and out been the best team the last few years. Do you guys kind of feel like we're falling back to the pack a little bit now?
Yeah. Oh, look, I think this is, the losses now, they sort of feel a bit, they feel a little bit different than the last lot. So, I mean, Crichton was a big loss because, and I guess that's one that we're not going to be able to measure until we get to the big games at the end of the year, because that's when he made all the difference with, it's just some truly just like clutch stuff. Like, that was such a clutch guy in big games. So that's one that, I mean, that we'll see later on how that one goes. But the loss of losing Luai was hard because he has so much that energy, attitude, swagger, as well as just being, you know, a good player in his own right, like that kind of an attitude and vibe that he brings to the squad. But then, oh man, absolutely. In terms of like feeling like this year, you know, I suppose you've seen like the last couple of years, Channel 9's put out those like little mini series, or the little documentaries there where Penrith's media guy. He's done a fantastic job. He like just recorded all these, you know, they were him and this other videographer, they just recorded all this footage of the team like in the final series, and you know, that it sort of captures how there's like a theme that that the guys carry on with them through the season. And I think the theme in 2022 that sort of like pulled them together, that was they had like a Top Gun theme. They called it, I think it was like One Last Dogfight, because Appy and Kikau were leaving. And so they said, and they sort of pulled together and they bonded together over that. And then over the, for the 2023 season and heading into the postseason especially, it was all about Undisputed, where they had like a custom belt made up, and after each game they'd, you know, add a plate to the belt before, you know, they won the grand final, they got the final plate on the belt. So like Undisputed was that thing. And then this year already, because Luai is leaving, they called this year The Last Ride. Now that like Fisher Harris is also leaving, and considering how he is like such a huge driver of like that, just like the culture of like work ethic and defense and just leading by example. Yeah, that's it. I think that's it. Like this year, and it really does feel like The Last Ride. I feel like, I feel like they could still win it all this year, but then next year next year, it's going to be really hard. I mean, like, oh, look, 2022 grand final, when Charlie Staines put Clint Gutherson on skates, I turned to my sister and I said, holy shit, soak this in. This is going to be the absolute best that it gets as a Panthers fan. Back-to-back premierships. And then like, oh, yeah, we won another one. It was like, which is, you know, it's insane. It's like, it's house money at this point as a fan. It's absolutely like ridiculous success in like the modern era. Yeah, and that's it. And I always say like, oh, I don't know. But yeah, this year really feels like it. And this, and losing two, like, more so Fisher Harris, but Luai as well, two guys in different ways really shaped the culture of the Panthers, between like, you know, mixing in that passion, that energy, that swagger with like ruthlessness and just that hard work ethic. I know it would have rubbed off on the rest of the squad, but you got two guys who are driving that culture. And you know, that's why, with the Bulldogs, when they're recruiting all these Panthers players and that, they're trying to sort of recruit the culture. I think, the Tigers have actually recruited a bit of the culture with Luai, and now the Warriors have fortunately, been the beneficiaries of the Fish wanting to go home. And they're also taking the real drivers of the Panthers culture. So yeah, that's it. We just got to see how the rest of the how they do with this next man up. That's it. I think like Moses Leota will definitely, he's already like up there close with Fisher Harris now, like over the years, as they've been like calling themselves the Bash Brothers, and and I mean, you see, we know how hard Moses Leota goes. So I think he could probably step into that breach and be the leader of the leader of the pack. But it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier when you've got a good running mate as well. So for Panthers fans, it's it feels like, okay, well, this might really be the last ride. Then it's going to be it's still going to be a good ride. We're still going to be in the eight, probably the four. But yeah, it feels like it will be finally, like, you know, a bit of a tapering.
It's funny, all these players you mentioned, like the Bash Brothers, and then obviously the 96 Bulls. All these players aren't even old enough. They wouldn't remember the Mighty Ducks. They wouldn't remember the 96 Bulls. They're not old enough to remember all these things.
It's great that they, that's what I was thinking. They're probably, God, when were, how old are they? They're probably like maybe they're in preschool when the money. Oh God, I'm sorry. I just have the match preview up on NRL.com. Moses Leota, born July 1995, mate.
Oh, he's probably I guess maybe I mean, Champions and Mighty Ducks, I feel like were early 90s, but I guess you can.
Yeah, I was gonna say he wasn't watching them on VHS.
Yeah, he's probably saw it on Disney Plus or something. Has you got any idea what we're talking about here?
No, not at all.
Boys, any other thoughts, as in Rob or Az, any other thoughts on this Panthers side?
We haven't previewed the game yet. I don't know what we're talking about.
I can't give it.
No, look, it's just a good, strong team. The difference I see this year to the last 3 years, I actually think, even though they've lost some personnel, I actually think Penrith play a better style this year. They've still got that same system, but they're prepared to really promote the football a lot more in terms of their second phase. Most of their forwards will normally like do a big hit up and get a quick play the ball. You're finding a lot of their forwards now are like popping the ball out the back, and they're just a lot more enterprising. And I think that's recognition from Ivan Cleary, knowing they've got to be a little bit more different this year and just go to the next level. And the stuff that's worked the last 3 years might not work this year. So I'm just concerned about them offloading the ball a lot. We've got to make our tackles, because St. George owned us in 90% of the tackles on Sunday. And I know we're going to get a better physical effort this week, but we've got to show it in every tackle, because Penrith are just too good. If you take your foot off the gas, they'll hurt you. But just to sum up Penrith, we've got to hold them the first 20 minutes. I find Penrith blow teams out of the water the first 20 or 30 minutes. If you're in the game after 30 minutes, you're a really big chance of winning. So if we're close near halftime, I'm not saying Penrith won't win, but if we're close, obviously, I'd give ourselves a big chance.
So no tries in the first minute of the game like last week.
Did they score a try last year? I don't even think they got a try last year.
I'm talking about the Dragons. The Dragons scored in the first minute.
You knew from the first tackle, mate. When Steph ran the ball back from the in goal, they had three St. George players smashed him, and Steph hasn't been hit like that from a kickoff all year. So St. George showed their intent last Sunday, and we came out thinking, as Benji said, that we were going to do it easily, and we just weren't prepared to wrestle, or we never won one play the ball. Every time St. George got tackled, they'd either win a penalty or their markers to take off, because we literally couldn't win a tackle. They dominated 90% of the tackles. It was so embarrassing. And I think you'll get a better effort this week, but unfortunately we're playing a much better team.
As the Panthers are coming off the bye, and we have a 6-day turnaround, although we do have a few players who didn't play last week, so I guess that kind of counters for those. But I mean, our forward pack coming off a game only 6 days ago, as opposed to these guys being well and truly rested, how much of a factor do you think that's going to be?
The one thing I will say, so far this year, teams that have come off the bye have looked a little bit flat to start their games for the most part. I think probably the one exception to that, actually, hang on, who had the bye in round two? Was it the Titans or the Dolphins? I think it was the Titans, because then they played the Dolphins in round three. That was probably the one exception where a team's had a bye and come out of the game, or come out of that and gotten off to a good start in their next game. You look at us in round two, obviously that round one bye hurt us. The Sharks last weekend against the Rabbits got off to a fairly slow start. And I don't know, there just seems to be a bit of a trend this year where the bye doesn't seem to be helping much in the first half. But I think the rest for the Penrith guys, obviously they've had a few niggly injuries. Luai, I think it was, copped a bit of an injury in the Manly game, but with the extra bit of resting time, he seems all good to go. So that's the only thing I can really like say there. Obviously, we've had a fair few guys miss last week or not play first grade last week. So there's going to be some more rested legs there.
You got anything stats-wise for us, Az, for this game?
Just that this is the ground we're playing at, obviously, Carrington Park in Bathurst. We have a 100% success rate there. Obviously, it is a very small sample size, but I'm taking it while I can.
I read somewhere, too, that we've won our last 8 out of our last 11 games against Penrith when they haven't had Nathan Cleary.
I heard that, too. I thought that was
I can't believe we played that. Is that go back before
before he started playing.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, how have we played 11 games with Cleary injured? That doesn't sound right, but yeah, that kind of makes sense. I've got the previous game.
They're going to come out. They'll come out red hot, Aaron, because, I mean, Shunter was saying earlier, you know, what Ivan Cleary said at the presentation or whatever it was, you know, effing West Tigers, blah, blah, blah. I remember not too long ago hearing, we're talking about James Fisher-Harris, he actually said the one time in his coaching career that Ivan Cleary's blown up and lost the plot was when the West Tigers thrashed Penrith in Magic Round. I think it was not 2019. So but he hates us. There is no way they're coming out like taking us for granted or going to be flat. I mean, they got pumped by Manly, absolutely destroyed when they should have beaten Manly. You know, they got off to a good start and they just thought it was going to be a cruise and Manly tore them apart. So there's no way there's going to be complacency in Bathurst. I think they'll come out hot. I'd love a wet track, obviously, because wet weather kind of makes games a lot closer, but it'll be a really good first 20 minutes. It'll just show us how much improvement we've got as a team. Like if we can bounce back from the debacle that was St George on Sunday.
Not only that, but they'll probably have had this fixture circled in their calendar due to what happened last year, and they'll be looking to make a statement saying this is their turf. We're going onto their turf, and we're not going to beat them again, sort of thing too.
Just looking at the previous games, last year was obviously close. Year before that, also, we only lost by 2 points at CommBank Stadium. Year before that, I completely forgot that we played during the bubble. I can't remember what we called. Lockdown, whatever. 2021, we played them at Dolphin Stadium. I completely forgot. That whole season's basically a blur. Same with 2020, but we did beat them at Leichhardt. So we beat them at Leichhardt.
They were missing about 7 players, though.
Origins, okay.
No, they were missing 9.
So that was pre-second lockdown. That was pre-second lockdown. I completely forgot about that. So, before that, a couple of losses at Penrith in front of 3,700 people at Perils 2020. Okay, that makes sense. It would have been at risk.
Oh, I think we've lost Josh again.
Richard.
Yeah, he's back.
2020 in July, we played Lidwell. Did I drop out then?
Yeah, all super chat money's got to go to your internet, brother.
Yeah, it's playing. It hasn't brought up anything. Like usually, I get an icon to say my internet is not strong, and I'm not sure what's going on tonight. Maybe the wife's watching 4K something or other in the other room. You've got me all good now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't had an icon come up to say my internet is too slow or anything. I think it's StreamYard. I'm going to blame StreamYard. It's their fault. Shunter, any West Tigers-Panthers games that are a classic? I'm trying to think today, having a thought about this, and Rob, you're the only one that probably remembers. I drove all the way down from the central. Well, I didn't drive. I was too young to drive. Went with a mate to the famous Panthers comeback game in 2000. Apart from that, I'm trying to think of a Penrith Tigers game that was a classic, like a memorable. I feel like a lot of other teams we have, well, the Dragons last week, we have multiple semifinals to talk about and that sort of thing. Is there a West Tigers Panthers game that stands out for you, Shunter, on your memory when you think about the teams playing against each other?
As you said, aside from that insane comeback game, nothing really stands out. The only other games that I sort of remember, I mean, and it's not because of the quality, it's not really because of the quality of the game either. I just remember I think in the 2019 season when the Panthers were just absolutely dire straits. I think it was a wet night as well. This was when Dylan Edwards was having like a real like crisis of confidence, and it was so bad that it was like they got to move him out of fullback, or they got to drop him or something, because he's dropping everything. He had an absolute mare against Melbourne and Bathurst. And then I think we're playing the Tigers at Penrith. And not a good game. But I think during the game, I can't remember who Edward switched with, whether it was Naden or somebody. Basically, somebody else had to go to fullback, and Edwards ended up finishing the game out on the wing. I think it was just because he was just kept dropping things. But then I think the Tigers were ahead for much of the match. And I think, Edwards ended up scoring a try very late. Then Cleary converted to level the scores. And I think we won in golden point off a Cleary field.
9-8.
I think it was like something terrible, like a 9-8 game or some sort of like 9-8. Disgusting scoreline like that.
I'll get it up on the screen.
That's the one that sticks in mind, but it's nothing to do with the quality of the game. It's just the little bit of...
I think we had a conversion hit the post as well from memory. Does anyone...
I think we did, it wasn't from too far out. I was actually at that game, and it was a pretty devastating one to go home from.
Yeah.
Isan Masters could not hit a single conversion that
was
night.
It Masters? Good memory.
He had some sort of injury. Yeah. I think it might have been like a hamstring or a quad or something like that. And he just couldn't nail any conversions, and it went to golden point, and they won with a Nathan Cleary field goal. I'm sure you've seen that Cleary Iceman meme or image. I think one of those images comes from that game.
I think it does. And I think if you can sort of make it out over my shoulder, I end up getting, for shits and giggles, I end up getting one of those. Again, audio medium, apologies. I actually have a little canvas print made up of Nathan Cleary doing the little Iceman taunt, which ironically is from the World Club Challenge in Penrith when he leveled the scores to send us to golden point, and then we lost. So,
sorry, what's Iceman?
Oh, the ice in his veins. That's where you
point to your wrist.
Sticks the arms out, and he has the invisible syringe, like in
LeBron. Is it LeBron that does that? I'm trying to think which basketball player. Maybe no, Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum does it all the time.
I'm not sure. It's quite funny the couple of times that he's cracked that out. But that's it. That's the
even funnier when you lose after he does it.
Yes. Oh my god! Yeah. That's why I got that thing done. I thought it's just funny, but just on levels. One, the fact that he did it, and then two, the fact that we lost afterwards. But the only other game, as I said, like that sort of sticks out in memory is I think it was the game we played you guys at Combank, we won. I can't remember what the scoreline was. There's one where BJ Leilua,
lost his head.
His head off. And then I think because Ivan was getting fed in the coach's box, this is the blowing kisses game. So that's the other reason.
That was 2020.
He probably didn't cop the razzing that he deserved from Tigers fans in 2019, because we only played the home game in Penrith, and then we played you guys in Magic Round, so it wasn't a partisan Tigers crowd up there. I was there at that Magic Round game though. I do remember that, because that one really did feel like rock bottom for the club. Just thinking like, man, you guys should be for this game where the coach has come back from this club to coach you guys. And just the effort that they put in, just watching how easy it was for that night for the Tigers to just rip them to shreds. There weren't enough beers in Suncorp to like wash that away. It was an out of body experience thinking like, oh my God, we're terrible.
Yeah.
we scored
a few tries very, very quickly that night. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that game was the game where we broke our record for most points scored in the first 20 minutes of a game as well.
Sounds about right. It was we were out of the gates. I remember thinking we're up four tries pretty quickly and thinking like, oh, Penrith going to come. I think Penrith scored once. I'm like, oh no, like just thinking Penrith are going to come back, but wasn't to be. Rob Shadamas, what have you got for us this week? You got a few bets on both the Ponies and the Rugby League.
Yeah, well, firstly, very bad week last week. No good with Jason Day, Hideki Matsuyama. They went like bustards. The two horse tips, one came second, one came nowhere. We did get the five-leg multi, but because of the draw with New Zealand and Manly, you only got half the dividend. So it was basically doubling your money. And the same game multi, we only got one try score out of three. So if you put a dollar on each of those things, you would have got back $2 out of your $8. So not a good week last week. This week, I've just kind of mixed it up a bit. I've given you a couple of horse tips there. And I've also given you my thoughts. To be honest, it's just such a hard NRL round. These are probably the only two NRL games I'm quite confident about. And I just put them in as a four-leg multi. You can just, if you like any of those, you can just play them individually, but they're all obviously around even money. So they're the four tips I like. But if you multi them up, depending on what odds you get at what time of the day you put your bet on, you probably get between $12 and $15 if you let them ride as a multi. So both those horse tips are pretty short prices. I think they're about $2.10 and $1.80. And obviously line bets are always, you know, $1.85, $1.90. So if you multi those up, hopefully we'll have a better week this week. Or just pick one or two of those that you like and leave the other couple out.
As I mentioned at the top of the show, if you go to the link in our profile pages of our socials or westtigers.com.au for our link tree, link the big purple button, sign up to ChaseBet and send them a message if you do so. And yeah, they'll help you out. Tell them we sent you. What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au, not .com. Right, I think I've actually got the graphic wrong there. I've got race six, number six, seven, but you...
That's race five.
I have to fix that for the socials. But
and remember, guys, I did know someone. I know one person that became a millionaire from gambling, okay? But he used to be a billionaire, okay? So just gamble responsibly.
Righto, on to our tips for this week. If you want to join in, Shunter, as well. So Chookies v... It's a pretty tough... I feel like it's the tough draw this week. Few games that are toss of the coin. This one, $1.95, $1.85. Two of us, Rob and I, have gone the Chookies, as you've gone the Storm.
Yeah, I've gone the Storm. I think I just trust the Storm a little bit more. The Roosters seem a little bit hot and cold at the moment. Not 100% sure what we're going to get from them. They don't have Sam Walker this week. He's only in the reserves, so... the Storm, I think Bellamy's going to have shoved a rocket up their ass after how they performed against the Dogs last week. And I think we'll see a much improved Storm team. And yeah, I think it's as close to a 50-50 game as you get this one. And I'm going with the Storm.
Just looking, Shawnee Blore, it's 550 to score a try again this week. I might put a little bit of...
It wouldn't shock though to see Sam Walker get a start, Aaron. Like if he's any good, he'll play. But yeah, I agree with you. It's a toss of the coin. Absolute, very hard game. And Melbourne have got out of jail twice in a row, you know, sort of getting late wins against Canterbury and Brisbane the last couple of weeks. And I just figured away from home, they you know, I think the Roosters need this a bit more. But again, very hard to pick.
Shunter? Just on this game, sorry, because I was just having a look at the previews here, and it does look like Sam Walker actually didn't survive the cutdowns by the look of it. They've done the cut down to 19 and he didn't make that cut. Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
Warriors and Dragons. This one, which ground is this at? As I've got the betting app open, it doesn't actually say.
I think it's Wynn.
So it's in down
as Wollongong. I'm pretty sure it's Wollongong. I'll pull it up.
Yeah, Dragons, I don't know, maybe because they scarred me last week. I've gone with them, even though they're outsiders and the Wars are killing it. I don't know. At home, I think that's why I did tip them, because they are in the gong. I don't know. Their confidence will be up there. And, yeah, the Tigers can do that to you. I don't know. Just feeling risky. I love the Wars. Didn't really like tipping against them, but... Away
don't
from
blame you, Josh. Very hard game again.
Yeah.
I mean, the Warriors played 90 minutes last week, so they got, you know, that's taken a lot of juice out of them. And no offense to our beloved Tigers, that was a track gallop for St. George. We never showed up.
Anyone else?
It is also, thoughts? But the thing is that I think it is it's a 5-day turnaround for the Dragons and a 6-day turnaround after the 90 minutes for the Warriors. So pretty interesting one. This one, I think it's actually going to be.
Ben, he said it's at Kogra, not Wollongong, this one. Okay.
I hate to disagree with you, Ben, but I've got the draw pulled up on my laptop here, and it says Wind Stadium, Wollongong.
Yeah, okay, Ben. Sorry, Benny.
Ben and Aaron Ward.
Yeah,
bring it on.
Why don't you go to Wollongong? Why don't you go to Kogra? I'm going to see.
Yeah, let us know.
I'll go to Wollongong then. Catch us later.
Eels, Finns, we've all gone Eels in this one, annoyingly. Yeah, the Eels were probably, as much as I hate everything about that franchise, but Shunter, do you think the Eels will win this one at home?
Yeah, they're home away from home. Yeah, I think, yes, taking a Queensland.
Oh, they're in Darwin, aren't they? This is in Darwin, this game.
Yes, you mentioned this earlier. Right. Yeah, but as we said before, it's like, well, it's a undermanned Dolphins, so probably a better chance than I suppose they didn't take the Titans up there, then they'd be pretty happy. But no, the Dolphins in there, down on troops because depth's still a bit of an issue for them in their infancy. So the Eels should be pretty confident of getting the job done.
In our game, we've all gone the Panthers. I did put a little bit of money on us. I think $5 is very juicy for us.
It's a bit rude, I think.
Yeah, but you're pretty confident. What do you reckon, Shunter? 13 plus in this one, or do you think it'd be close?
No, I'd be reluctant to go 13. I'd be reluctant to go 13 plus because, as I said, Penrith will be a bit more up for this game, but the Tigers, on paper, is a better team than they had against us last year in one. So I think 1-12 still, but I do think that the Penrith would win, but still close.
The line's 13.5, so do you reckon, Rob? Do you reckon that's tempting to take the 13.5 line?
If we show up, guys, I think the total points under 40.5 is a special. I don't think we've got that many points, and even if we were to do well and win, we might get 18 points, and if we don't do well, I don't think Penrith will put too much on it. Like maybe we score 6 or 12 points and they get 24, something similar to last week with St. George. So I really think if someone's having a dollar on the game, like I'd go under 40.5.
Wrong button. Manly Titans, we've all gone Manly. That's up on the Gold Coast. Yeah, the Titans, they're pretty sucky this year.
They played well last week, though.
Yeah, they come back. They almost came back. Yeah.
Yeah. Be an interesting clash because Jason Saab's back this week. So you got Saab on Khan Pereira. That's probably the two fastest men in rugby league. So I hope someone puts a kick through and we get to see them have a running race.
They've really brought back the reinforcements this week, Manly. I think they've had 4 players named to return from injury layoffs.
Yeah, Garrick's back, but they have lost Ben Trbojevic.
Nathan Brown is another one of them who's back, and he absolutely blitzed it in that game against Penrith 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Broncos, we've all gone Broncos up in Brisbane. Oh, they're not on Friday night for once. There you go. The fans Saturday might night. Actually... Yeah, they might turn up on the wrong night. Yeah, but it's not Friday night prime time. They might turn up the wrong... Queenslanders, you never know. They might rock up on the wrong night.
Josh, this is another one. This is another one. Everyone thinks this is straightforward, but again, the Broncos are missing Adam Reynolds. And I remember last year, I'm not sure what round it was. It might have been around round 8. Canberra had only won 1 out of their first 7 games, and Brisbane were flying, and Canberra knocked them off. So, capable of causing an upset.
This one's tough. I tip the Bulldogs, and I'm an idiot, but it's pretty close in the betting here. I don't know. If I'm in doubt, I go home team usually. But Doggies Knights pretty much close to even money. You boys have gone the Knights.
Coin flip for me.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Yeah, this is another 50-50. I think I just trust the Knights a little bit more than the Dogs. The Dogs are also copping a few injuries. They played this game and then they've got a bye next week before they play us. So the bye will give them a chance to refresh. Have we got
Have we got the Parramatta this year? We're following the bye again. What Parramatta had last year?
Not sure.
We play Parramatta in the last round after our last bye.
Yeah, tough one. Yeah, toss of the coin. And then finish on Sunday, Arvo, Sharkies and the Cowboys. I've gone Sharkies again, if in doubt, go home team. But you boys have gone the outsiders in the travelling Cowboys.
Yeah, I just think the Cowboys need to bounce back, but they're very rocks and diamonds, and they're part of that multi that I gave you guys with the 2.5. So I got to stick with what I've tipped.
Shunter, any thoughts on that one?
I'm actually struggling to get a read on this one too.
Very hard weekend.
I really don't know. I'll probably lean Cronulla, but not with a great deal of confidence. They're hard ones to get a read on.
When tipping's tough, I feel like the league's in a good spot. If we're going into games thinking we don't know who would win, I feel like a few years ago we'd had like $8-$9 outsiders. I feel like the footy this year, it's evened out a little bit, and that's a good thing. Every team should go into a game thinking they're within reason, they're a chance. Of getting a win.
Canterbury, St. George, and us have been rubbish for a couple of years. So when we're competitive, I mean, that's three games that are a bit more even, aren't they?
Yeah.
It does help if the bottom teams, you know, pull their finger out.
And when the best player in the world isn't playing as well, in Nathan Cleary. New South Wales Cup, that is 1 p.m. on Saturday at Bluebet Stadium. The Magpies, they got a few... Yeah, obviously with players coming back in the first grade, that means there's a few players for the Magpies. Jaden Sullivan is in the six. Sione Fainu starting front rower there. Jackie Simpkin at hooker. Kepa Oa on an edge. So Talon De Silva in the 14. So Simpkin and De Silva the same side. Josh Felity's been moved to the bench. Jordan Miller's there as well. So, yeah, a little bit. They haven't named a second winger yet when I screenshot this. But, with the first grade side getting some recruits, it means trickles down for the Magpies. So, fingers crossed they can get it done out Penrith way. Jersey Flegg play before that game. They're at 11:15 a.m. So, if you're going to watch Tigers Flegg and the... trying to think, what time's kick? No, you wouldn't make it. I'm trying to think can you drive from Penrith to Bathurst in time between games, but you literally can't.
You would have literally 5 minutes.
Yeah, get a helicopter wouldn't make it. So, that kind of sucks. Righto, on Saturday at Leichhardt Oval, our Harold Matz Magpies and our Lisa Fiola West Tigers under-17s girls are both playing for a spot in the grand final. So the boys play first. They're at 11 a.m. up against the Sharkies, and the girls, they're playing the Steelers at 12:30. So get out to Leichhardt Oval on Saturday, assuming you're not going out to Bathurst. You probably wouldn't make both of them. The girls would finish, 1 o'clock? You'd have to get a few speed and fines to get from Leichhardt after that one out to Bathurst. But yeah, get out and support the girls and boys on Leichhardt Oval. Leichhardt Oval, more footy at Leichhardt Oval this week, and it still can't get government funding to be improved, but it is what it is. Patreon.com/Westlife. I think I saw Shane Coet before dropped something in there for us on the Discord. If you want to support the show, join us in the Discord. What's the chat going this week. He said, fellas, I'm confident about this weekend. We can beat these putrid daywalkers. Let's go, West Tigers. Daywalkers. Isn't a daywalker... Is that a reference to Penrith? I don't know why. A daywalker to me is someone who's got quite... Going off South Park, it's someone who's not quite a redhead. They're like a cherry blonde. And they will.
Oh, that, it's a bit of, like a shot at Luke Garner.
I don't know. Not sure. Could but it's a vampire thing, isn't it? Daywalker.
Yeah, it's like a Twilight in the Blade movies on comics.
Yeah, Blade. Yeah,
vampire, but. You know, only part vampire, and so it can go out during the day. But yeah, South Park's adopted the basically meant, yeah, like kind of ginger enough.
Not
ginger that you can't go out in the sun. Yeah, so, I guess like maybe Liam Martin sort of might meet that threshold as well. But yeah, definitely feels like a slight at Garner.
Yeah, I think Shane's watching. explain your joke, young man. don't really understand that one. We'll be back on Monday, 8:30 p.m. on the YouTubes. to review this one. Shanta, thank you very much again for joining us on the West Life podcast. Shouts ahead Ben Harvest on YouTube too. He's been telling everyone to like, and now he's saying 93 subscribers. Well, we're up to 193. That would make us, we're on 907 subscribers. So if you are listening, we're trying to get to that 1,000. So if you're, even if you're listening back on the audio, go to YouTube, please subscribe and try and get us to that 1,000 mark. Truly appreciate it. Even if you continue to listen to us on the audio, you don't have to watch us and look at our mugs on the screen. You can continue to do that, but give us a subscribe and trying to get the numbers up there. But yeah, Shanta, just saw someone sign up as a member too. Totally forgot to plug that as well. Shawnee M is a member as well. So send us a DM, Shawnee, and I'll give you the link to our Discord as well. So slide into our DMs on the socials. I'll do just that as well. Very generous tonight, boys. We've got members and super chats coming through the yin-yang. So any last thoughts before we head into the weekend?
No, not at all, guys. Just hopefully we bounce back, and obviously it's a must-win game. We've got Brisbane next week, so if we don't win this game, I think it's at this early stage of the season, we're not going to be much of a chance of finals if we don't manage a win this week.
As we always go for you last, Shanta, anything you'd like to say? And again, thank you for joining us on the show tonight.
No, that's right. Thanks for having me. It's been therapeutic to talk through the stages of grief of losing one of the best players in the world. Well, actually, reigning Golden Boot winner. This is one of my favorite weekends of the year because I like getting away for these Panthers Bathurst games. It's a good little drive out there for me from where I live, I like the Tigers as a club, so it's good to get to play them out there for back-to-back years. And I'm just looking forward to a good contest. Like certainly, I don't think it's going to play out as like the $5 outsiders that being paying as at the moment. So it's hoping for
$9 last
a dry deck for me. Dry deck. I would like a dry deck because I was there. Yeah, getting rained on hard last year, but hopefully, big good times this weekend.
Nothing like a dry deck. As any parting words?
Just want to thank everyone for all the support that they give the podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Looking forward to hopefully a really good game. And this may be the last year for the foreseeable future when we play the Panthers just once. I think given the big signing of next year, we're going to get two of these Western Sydney Cat rivalry games moving forward, which should be good fun.
Yeah. Despite you guys being the force that you are, it is, from a fan point of view, sad that we only play you once because it is a good rivalry as well. Same with Manly this year. You thought the NRL for sure would play this against Manly. But anyway, let's save that for... another evening. Thank you to the hundreds of you that join us live tonight and the thousands of you that support the show, listening, watching, wherever you may be. And as always, go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Westlife Podcast. Please follow us at Westlife Pod on Instagram and Twitter and facebook.com/Westlife Pod. You can also support and take part in the show at patreon.com/Westlife and give us a subscribe on YouTube and turn notifications on. We'll see you again next time on another episode of the Westlife Podcast.